Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guidance is internal. Ignition sequence starts. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Permission to board, please.
Permission to come aboard.
Permission to board.
Permission to board.
Do I have some permission to board that sweet mothership?
This is the Permission Granted podcast. Here's DA.
All right, welcome inside the Permission Granted podcast, everybody. I am back after my vacay last week. Glad you're with us here on the PGP. As always, this is the show about the show within the show. You can listen to the PGP by downloading it on the iTunes PGP feed. Search Permission Granted. You'll see it there. Leave a comment, a review. We appreciate that very much. That way it'll find other listeners out there and other people will be attracted to it. Also, you can find it on the normal DA show iTunes feed, as well as our website, daoncbs.com. The PGP is there, and you can see it very easily as you download or you load that site page. You'll see the PGP in the upper right-hand corner. Very easy to navigate. So I am back after last week, heading down to Florida with the Bourbon Bell. We went down there for our annual trip, now 3 years in a row that we've gone down there for the week. It was very nice. Got some sun, got some beach, although the weather wasn't great every day enough. And, just being away from the hustle and bustle of New York City and the day-to-day grind was good enough. So I've got a lot to talk about here and get off my chest with Mraz after listening to last week's PGP. Number one, you had Peter Schwartz here on the show. And Schwartz tried to defend his kids' behavior that they weren't little hellions at ballparks racing and knocking over old women for foul balls.
His kids weren't thugs.
That's what he said.
That's a direct quote.
That's a direct quote. The problem with his alibi here, that his excuse was that they are very polite and that they're just right place, right time. And your point was, what was the dude's name that we all hate that gets all the balls?
Zach Hample.
Zach Hample.
Ironically, your son idolizes.
Zach Hample in the making, as you said. And nobody likes Zach Hample because he goes to these ballparks and gets 50 balls a game and goes to home run derbies or, just steals all the balls. Two things bothered me about Schwartz as I downloaded the show, the PGP, last week, and every morning I went on a nice little run around Sanibel and listened to it one of those mornings.
By the way, you texted me about the PGP, I would say 40 minutes after I posted it. Were you waiting every minute to see when the PGP was going up?
I believe it was a Wednesday morning.
Yes.
And I got up, and I didn't know what I was going to listen to. Usually I just hit Apple Music and go to a channel that I like or something like that, listen to some music. But then I saw it because I had the podcast loaded. I'm like, oh, I could listen to a podcast, and the PGP was published. And I was like, oh, cool. I had thought it was up on Tuesday because I had run on Tuesday morning, but it wasn't up yet. So I thought it came up Tuesday afternoon like it usually does. Then I listened to you guys say you had a Wednesday morning pre-show taping. And
yes.
I'm like, holy crap, this episode has been out for like an hour.
That's it. It was as fresh as could be. We taped it pre-show. It was the way I could get bogus in the mix.
Yeah. So I listened to this with the PGP with Schwartz. And the two things that bother me. Number one, he insists his sons are not the new Zach Hample, even though A, his oldest son idolizes Zach Hample, follows him on Instagram and thinks he's the coolest thing ever.
And doesn't understand why people hate Zach Hample.
And B, that Bradley, his oldest son, once left a baseball game with 5 baseballs. I am 39 years old. I have gone to, I worked in minor league baseball. So I would say I've gone to 100 major league baseball games, probably, maybe 150 or so. And I would say I've worked another 100 minor league games, and I can tell you I own one baseball that I got at a New Jersey Cardinals game when I was working at a single-A affiliate of the Cardinals back in the late 90s when Bob Feller came through to sign. I can remember because I had him sign the baseball. And I once nearly caught a Reggie Sanders pop foul.
Always remember the player.
At Shea Stadium in the summer of 96, but it hit my hands and the backspin spun away because it didn't bounce anywhere. It hit me on the fly. Hurt my hands like hell. I thought I broke my metacarpal and it bounced away and some kid got it. You're telling me Bradley Schwartz walked away from a baseball game with five baseballs one day and he's not the kid that knocks down people to go get baseballs? I got a hard time believing that.
I couldn't agree more. To say that he's just right place, right time.
Five?
Now, you want to tell me, now, Peter, I
was... Now, this could be a Long Island Ducks game, minor league. Maybe there's only a couple thousand people there.
Right, but here's the drill. Peter is going to bring his sons. He ain't going to the bars before the game like me and you would be. He's going to bring him down to batting practice and bring him down low. But even then, you want to tell me you're one of your kids are one of 20 kids down there, maybe 15 of them get balls. I could buy it. But how are they walking out with five? They got to be taking balls.
How? It's impossible.
They have to be taking them from somebody.
Here's best case scenario for Bradley Schwartz, okay? Best case. Papa Schwartz goes, okay, guys, let's go to the baseball park early. We're going to go watch batting practice early at the Long Island Ducks game. They've got the St. Paul Saints coming in, or the Dover Demons.
Sugarland Skeeters.
Just something like that. We're going to go 2 hours before, 2.5 hours before. Game time is 6. We're going to be down there at 4, 3:30. We're getting there early. You're behind home plate. Okay.
Nothing worse than the first person in the park at a minor league game.
But this is best case scenario for Bradley. So you get there and... the first guy to go up there sees the first kid and is like, hey, you want a baseball? And he goes, great, sure. So that the first baseman of the Long Island Ducks, oh, you're a Ducks fan? Great, here's a baseball.
They have K-Rod, Jair Jurgens, and Jordani Valdespin this year.
So Jordani Valdespin gives him a baseball. Wow, you're a big Ducks fan? Cool. So now he's got one baseball in his hand. Okay, now he's watching BP. And maybe a foul ball comes back that a guy tops, rolls into behind home plate and rolls up against the press box, and he's the first kid up there. Now he's got a ball in both hands. At this point in time, there is no way to get three more baseballs. Okay, maybe he runs back to dad and says, hey, keep these two. At that point, he's begging for baseballs. There's no way more players are just going to be like, oh, another kid we want to give baseballs to, or he's going to go chase down more fouls.
Right, or at this point, he's going now down the right field line and waiting for the right fielder to be done having his catch in between innings. Go, oh, throw me the ball. But why are you asking for the ball when you already have to?
That's right. That's exactly right.
Because now it's becoming a sick game for him. How many can I get?
Exactly.
Which is what I'm talking
about.
Exactly. It's not right place, right time.
No.
You're begging for baseballs.
Exactly. Now it's the game, how many can I get? If I walked out with that Reggie Sanders foul ball, I would have been thrilled for the day. Thrilled. And great, that was my day. That might have been my season. If I walked out with a foul ball from a minor league stadium, I got a foul ball today. I'm not then running and saying, how can I beg for another one?
Do you see what you're saying here? Okay, and this is what I was trying to get at with Pete, but there's only so much you can press him. You remember the year and the player for a foul ball you didn't even get and you came close. It was
That's
Reggie
right.
Sanders, right? Me and my father, and I might have mentioned this in the podcast, maybe not, we'll still talk about to this day, me and him at a Met Cardinal game when he got a foul ball from Royce Clayton, where my dad actually knocked over an old man that didn't serve to get knocked over. And I know to this day, and I've told the story on the air, I have a foul ball off Derek Jeter's bat that crushed an old woman in her head. But we, all three of us now, my dad, me, and you, will know the foul ball we missed in on, who hit it. You're telling me Bradley Schwartz, we go to his bedroom on Long Island, and he's got 200 baseballs in there, can single-handedly tell you where he got all 200 or whose bat they came off of? No chance.
He couldn't even tell you all five that he got from that one game.
Right, and that in lies the problem. If you can't know exactly where, because that now becomes not a memorable moment.
How many do you need?
Right.
Right. Imagine you walked out of a baseball game with four baseballs. Would you be asking anybody for a fifth?
I'll tell you who suffers. 80 years from now, Bradley Schwartz's kids, when they got to clean out his house, when he eventually passes and goes, why did Daddy have 400 baseballs down here?
It does not pass the sniff test.
No.
This does not. And also, okay.
He set the bar at thugs, by the way. It's not the point.
He also said one of his kids got a basketball sneaker. Now, clearly this is a New York Nets game.
Right.
Or Long Island Nets.
Where it's the G League.
It's the Nets G League. That's very obviously what happened here.
Right, okay. And I can tell you, full disclosure, Pete has posted pictures on Facebook of going to these Net games, and everybody in the place could go home in one car.
That's right, yes. I mean, okay, so best case scenario here is 200 people are at this G League Nets game as they take on the El Sol of El Paso, okay?
Right.
So he goes, he takes the kids. There ain't nothing wrong with that. You're going to go see basketball at a reasonable price. You get good tickets, good seats, so it's, you know, fine. But you're telling me a player turns around, is taking off his sneakers and goes, oh, I want to give my sneakers away to a kid? Or is Bradley having been on the 11-year-old high of once having five baseballs, go, I'm going to ask every player in here for something, and I'll get a towel from one and a sock from another and a sneaker from another. Are basketball players, especially in the G League that don't make a lot of money, are they just giving away their sneakers to, like, randos like, oh, you didn't even ask for it, but here's a sneaker?
No, my guess is Bradley at this point, boy, a lot of name drops for the Schwartz kids here, is become the young Spike Lee and has heckled these players the entire game, and you can hear his voice because there's only six people in the crowd. And finally, the guy says, uncle goes, all right, this kid, he doesn't, and he has a problem, every player doesn't know the Bradley Schwartz bit. So he thinks, oh, this kid's cute, he's heckling me all game, I'll give him the sneaker. Doesn't know that, you know, a month later he's at the Long Island Duck game heckling Doug Jennings down the right field line for five balls.
My other thing that doesn't pass the sniff test is that Schwartz says Bradley and the youngest one's Jared, a lot of name drops, are polite and well-mannered to everybody. Now, I have witnessed them in person at the block party. No, and they have openly taunted you during a wiffle ball game.
We have the
openly
drops.
Taunted.
Boo Chubbo, Boo Chubbo.
Yeah, right. We have it's a drop. They have openly taunted you, at least Bradley has. You're telling me that a young child who would openly taunt a friend of his dad at a wiffle ball game at a block party is going to be the most polite kid ever in getting baseballs at ballpark? Like, the most, you know, reserved? Come on, I don't believe that. If he's willing to boo you during a wiffle ball game, he's willing to steal a baseball from somebody else chasing.
I would also say there is a video, again, if Pete wants to post his life online, we have a lot of stuff to point to. There is a video online at an Islander game late this season where young Jared, the younger one, screams in Pete's phone in a video, fire snow! Fire snow! So now we have your young
fire boy. Fire Garth Snow.
So now we have a young boy yelling for a man's job to be taken from him because at his age is clearly unhappy with the Islanders' salary cap moves. So you can't tell me they're always polite at games when a kid in elementary school wants a man and his family to lose their job.
Yeah.
Now, granted, Garth Snow lost his job, yeah. But that doesn't speak, if you bring this to court and you speak to the character being polite,
that's right.
We have a lot of evidence there against that. And Pete posted that because he was proud of Jared for knowing enough Islanders to chant that. So on one hand, you can't be proud of your kid for yelling for somebody's job to be fired, but then also say you're proud for how polite they are. It's fine that your kid, I think it's funny when a little kid is yelling somebody to fire, but don't tell me they're also polite because you're challenging them not to be. You want them to be hardcore sports fans, and not all hardcore sports fans are polite.
And I feel like Schwartz has put himself in a hole in terms of his judgment on things because he said that you calling him out was a defamation of character.
Come on.
Defamation of character is a heavy hand.
Heavy hand. And he also said, you're challenging things about my kids. Now, we could bring that up. That was last week's Trash Tuesday. But no, it was when Aaron Judge...
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, whatever it was. I know, I never mentioned his kids' names. Not to the extent we've mentioned them here on the BGP. And how is that a defamation of character? I'm bringing up the fact that you always post on Twitter, not even his personal Facebook, where only people close to him would know. On Twitter... I mean, so much so that his Twitter picture for a little while was a foul ball at a game, was how many balls you get. So when I'm thinking quickly in the middle of a segment talking about people collecting balls, yeah, Pete, you're the first one that's going to come into my mind because I see it in my face in social media all the time. That's not a defamation of character. That's calling out what you're putting out there for the world to see.
Well, that is true. Schwartz is very active on Facebook and Twitter to put
Schwartz Sports.
Schwartz Sports. So let me just be very clear here because I'm guessing that Schwartz will listen to this. I am not questioning his parenting. I am not questioning the young children because I've met them both at block parties and whatnot, and I always have a good time with them. They laugh a lot. They're very funny. They run around a lot. We always have a good time. I eat hamburgers with them or whatever. You know, this is not...
Oh, the cheese, just the hamburger.
It's not a criticism of parenting or the children or whatnot. It is a criticism that Schwartz is being dishonest. There is just no way that he, there's no way that his kids can walk out of a baseball game with five baseballs by being in the right place at the right time. That I totally don't believe. And I don't believe that they're always polite, because I've seen their behavior in other instances that it just, that doesn't jive with me.
Okay.
Okay? That's what I'm saying. I think he was dishonest in last week's PGP interview. That's my point.
I would agree with you. So now I would say this. You're running around Sanibel Island listening to this hot off the presses. How many times did you either eye roll or like mumble under your breath in hearing the Peter Schwartz part?
Over under five eye rolls. I'm like, come on.
Now,
the five baseballs really threw me. I said, I've never met a kid that walked out of a baseball game with five baseballs. Never
right,
met one.
Right place. Right
I
time.
I can't.
And his son's a polite. Safe because he gave a little girl one of the balls. Well, he already had 15 of them, so I'm happy he did that,
so,
Pete.
Unless it's like a driving rainstorm and you're the only person in the stadium, or it's like the snow game in Chicago, like the opening day for the White Sox, and you're literally the only person in the stadium chasing a foul ball every place in the ballpark, there is no way to walk out of a ballpark with five baseballs. There's just no way. And a sneaker.
I just got the sneaker. What do you do with the sneaker?
And a sneaker. There's no way.
Even if you put the sneaker behind glass in some kind of case, it's a G League sneaker.
Unless this was a giveaway day at a G League game where it's like last game of the season, we throw our towels to the fans and whatever. Okay, that's different. But that is also being around when they give stuff away. You know, you're not.
That's
just
not right place, right time. I'm seeking out something.
And it's a giveaway day.
I go to a game with my father my whole life. You've gotten a ton of games with your dads, and we're lucky enough now to take our fathers to games and get tickets and whatnot. At no point do I enter the stadium going, Dad, what can we come home with today? It's, hey, let's have a good time. What are we going to eat? It's something like that. I am convinced the Schwartz family goes to a game with, what can we come home with today? Is that fair?
It would be hard for me to believe otherwise if you've got 400 baseballs at home.
All right. Well,
the other thing
now
I want,
we've done 15 minutes on Schwartz.
I want to address another thing for the PGP last week. I was getting reamed by you guys, you and Bogus specifically, for not disconnecting enough.
Oh, that's
okay?
Right. That's
I didn't disconnect enough because I was tweeting during these games. And you guys were like, why don't you just get away from baseball or get away from sports?
Kincaid called you out for it too, by the way. That didn't make the top five moments on the air.
And here is my thinking on all this. Well, number one, there is a business aspect to it. Because when I'm gone, you know, we don't do the normal stuff on the show. The stuff that I post on Facebook or my Twitter can oftentimes have the simple reasoning of I want the listeners to have something to be engaged in.
Sure.
So that's why when I'm out, for us to have a PGP is good. At least that's something for people to listen to. I'll put stuff on Facebook, pictures of whatever, me or pictures or graphics or stuff that I would make in Photoshop or whatever, so that people have something to look at on their timeline, their feed when I'm not here, so it's not like total darkness. Because we
Fair.
Don't have somebody else doing that. Okay? And I like doing that. But the bigger point is that when I go on vacation, it's not like I'm not still a sports fan. And this is what's funny. Like, the idea is if you're laying cement, or you're a telephone, operator, or you're an insurance salesman, like you get away from work when you're on vacation. Well, it just so happens that my work is watching sports. And so because I'm on vacation, yeah, I'm not doing a show. And yeah, I'm not like organizing my thoughts and like, let's do this in topic A and segment B. But I'm still watching sports games. And when I'm watching sports games, I still have thoughts just like everybody else does. So I would tweet them out. So it's very funny, the idea, like, should I not watch sports when I'm gone?
No, you should. And I have been in Cancun during the NBA Finals and had to watch Spurs Heat. I remember this vividly on ESPN Deportes because that's all I could do. And I had to watch the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
So, and as I mentioned, I'm the biggest hypocrite for claiming that. I guess it would be, all right, you're going to tweet about sports. Then do we need, four pictures of you with fish, or can we wait till the end for one group photo?
Okay, so you're saying that I tweeted too much about my other stuff that I did.
Well, not even tweet too much. So, okay, you want to have a thought every night. Now, I thought the Raptors joke, as I mentioned, was a swing and a miss.
And I thought,
and you texted me vulgariously with the stats on that, the retweets and the likes. I would say
had more than 500 likes.
Right.
And you guys called it a swing and a miss or a seeing eye single. And I said, no, that's a good tweet, Bubba.
That's a good tweet. All right. I would say almost every day was a different Instagram pic of you from your account, the show account. You know, you're holding fish here, you're holding fish there, and this,
I go back.
I go back.
There were two pictures. One, we went out on a charter boat, and then one I was fishing in the backyard. There are two fish pictures, then one with the bourbon bell.
Okay, so I guess my question would be, and this dates back to Bilotti's Trash Tuesday of months ago, should you wait till you come back and give us all the photos at once?
Okay, that is a different criticism than tweeting about the games at night.
I was trying to bring it to social media in general, and it just we took it into just the sports angle.
Because I'm thinking, I'm sitting here going like, well, yeah, I did get away, and just not being in New York City is vacation enough. Yeah. That's the thing.
I guess it's a total package. I mean, if you were on Snapchat, I'd assume, you know, dancing in the club in Sanibel Island, too. It was like, we saw you on every channel. All right, take a breath.
But, yeah, but here's the thing, okay? Getting away from the show is not stressful to me. It's work, but it's not stressful. And
stressful is dealing with me every day.
Dealing with you. And, you know, the organization that goes into the show and constantly thinking about, like, do we have this audio? Are we ready for this? And the stress becomes the organization of things. But actually executing the show is not stressful. And dealing with New York City is stressful. But once I'm out of New York City and I'm not doing a show, no matter what I'm doing, it feels like I'm totally on vacation. So at night, like, I would watch the games. And so everything else is vacation. And you guys are like, get away from it, disconnect. I'm just watching a basketball game at night.
Again, I had fun killing you, but I am a hypocrite because I've done the same thing. I know I have.
And it's also not work.
No. By the way, I'm having a few beers casually. I'm going to jot my thoughts down.
Exactly.
Especially if you're with the Bourbon Bell, and who knows, maybe she's off mixing a margarita or something like that. And, you know, tweeting and stuff like that is like talking to your buddy at the game.
Exactly. It's like texting.
Oftentimes at night, see, this is what bothers me about Twitter, too. I'll ramp off like three tweets within a half an hour about a game I'm watching, right? And then maybe there will be a night where I don't rip off any. And then I'll get somebody coming at me like, oh, you didn't watch the game last night? Like, no. I just happen to be by myself where, like, I feel the need to, like, converse with people watching the game. And there's other times I might be watching with somebody on the couch where I don't need to do that because they're talking with me.
That's right.
So I get that from tweeting when watching the game.
Well, and I could also understand if somebody goes, you know, again, somebody lays cable or somebody is a, you know, construction worker, and they're like, oh my God, I just need to get away from everything. So, like, I'm going dark. Nobody's going to see me do anything. I could totally understand that. But for me, and like, they would unwind by going to watch a sports game. To watch a game, have a few beers.
Right.
It just so happens, and nobody would be like, man, disconnect. You're watching the Cavs? Come on, disconnect.
Well, that's what he wants to do anyway. He probably waited all week to just have a beer and not wake up the next morning after watching the game.
And so then when we do it, it's like you got to disconnect. No, that's the same enjoyment that I get.
I would say you brought some intelligence here to side A of the PGP. Very fair point.
Okay. Well,
don't ask me what I have coming up on side B because I have no idea. Something's going to come up.
Side B is going to be wild card. We're having it right now.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, welcome into Side B of the PGP. I have an answer as far as what is on Side B. It is the man, the myth, the legend, Pete the Body, Bilotti. Bilotti?
Bilotti.
Bilotti.
Yes, please.
Even though it's spelled B-E, it's not Bilotti.
Not Bilotti.
Has anybody ever called you Bilotti?
But yeah, usually when they're trying to pronounce my name like in a first day of class. Oh yeah, ladies and gentlemen, that was Peter Bilotti. Bilotti.
See, I think Bilotti, he likes the Dotty. Like that could be your rap version.
Actually, when I played football, the short stint I had playing football in high school, they called me Lottie Dotty. Bilotti Dotty.
Now, is that because you had a Lottie Dotty attitude on
the
field?
No. I was always the first one there.
Offensive
I had no
guard.
Talent. I had no talent. I was a defensive. In high school, I was a defensive lineman.
So an undrafted, unheralded rookie free agent.
Right.
You know, makes the team out of hustle and grit, yeah. But really does no production on the field.
I have no production skills. I'm valuable on the bench for good stories.
Good stories and pouring Gatorades.
Yes.
Well, speaking of benches, we had a week without DA last week.
That's right.
DA, as me and DA just discussed, or DA and I, him all over social media, he explained why he was doing that to keep the fans engaged. And now we've had two straight days where a listener wanted to tweet or ask me or you, I guess, why we're not posting the shows and the hours on this podcast feed that you're probably getting this PGP on for the show while DA is out with backup hosts. And you haven't had a chance to chime in on this, and I've tried to describe it. We had John Kincaid, then we had Andy Gresh, then we had Andy Gresh, then we had Jody Mack, then we had John Kincaid. All three of those men do separate kind of shows.
Right.
And therein lies the issue. When DA fills in on, let's say, Teague and Tierney, or when he used to fill in on Doug Gottlieb, DA will play by the rules and do that show's kind of gimmicks and bits. And it probably works easier because the show is a flat-out television show on top of being a radio simulcast, if you will. When you throw three different hosts in a week, they're going to do what make play to their strengths. Because if they try to do Trash Tuesday or they try to do Soundcheck, which I've gone over and I've attempted to do, I've been able to do it with a guy like Adam Kaufman when he filled in for DA in the past. Ultimately, it's just not going to sound right. They're not going to feel comfortable, and they want to be able to keep getting reps, and they want to play to their strengths. So for me to podcast that, it's just like podcasting a show you would hear on the weekend with, like, the DA show, if you will, house around it, mm-hmm. with the rejoiners. It right. just doesn't make sense. So your thoughts, Pete, should we be podcasting what the fill-in hosts are doing?
Well, I don't think there's really anything too wrong with that, but...
Only anything too wrong with podcasting?
With podcasting it, but I understand consistency with the brand. I understand
right.
if it's you filling in, if it's, you know, they would never give it to me, but if, like, say, for some reason you're sick or everyone has malaria and they need someone to fill in and I'm doing it, if it's one of the people on the Bogus, if it's one of the people right. that are on the show, it makes more sense to post it. Now, you could post the other shows
I would agree.
With their with the other show's pages. You know, it's... To me, it's like similar to like if your favorite gym teacher in high school was substituting the whole week in your favorite math class.
You're not going to get the regular test.
Right. You're not going to save his notes. You're
right.
going to save the regular teacher's notes.
Great comparison.
I mean, you love that gym teacher. You love listening to that gym teacher or work or being involved in that
yep.
class. But you're more gravitated to saving the stuff that you worked on with the regular teacher.
I would agree. I think that's an excellent point.
Not saying that the hosts are like substitutes in that way.
No, they're all doing a good job. I actually don't think any of the hosts did a bad job. We had fun at some expense. I love Gresh. I love Kincaid. And I love Jody Mack. I mean, it might have been a little awkward at points, and they all have different styles. But yeah, you bring up a great point. If it was Andrew Bogus and myself have both had the opportunity to host on CBS Sports Radio, we've not had the opportunity to host the DA show. I hope that one day that comes for me or for Bogus or for whoever. I could guarantee you that if Bogus did the show or if I did the show, we would do Soundcheck. We would do Trash Tuesday. We would have an epic fail. It would be the show because we're used to it. We're around it every day. And if that's the case, I think then that's the opportunity where the listeners are familiar and they podcast.
Right.
I guess my opinion would be you don't want to drive people away from listening to the DA show at all. And we want you to listen even when DA's out. And we still want to try to have fun. But I'm not going to lie to you. If you... The way you take in the show is not live between the hours of 9 a.m. till noon Eastern. And you rely on the podcasts. I just think the idea of listening to John Kincaid or Jody Mack do a show, what is different between listening to that and listening to whatever you'd be listening to live at that time, whether it be Writer Than You on CBS Sports Radio if you're listening at night or something? Is that fair? That might be unfair. I'm underselling
it. It's fair. I think that, like, if I'm really a big fan of DA, if I'm at the gym and I want to hear DA's latest podcast, I would probably go back and listen to DA's last podcast rather than the newest one with someone else.
Now, I wonder, and I'm thinking on the fly, and I shouldn't even be saying this because I'm probably going to create more work for me. I wonder if in the time it comes, if I am here, you're here, Bogus is here, and DA is on vacation. Now, there are times we all vacation at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if instead of throwing out one PGP that week, we throw out, let's say, like three, maybe label one the PGP.
No, I don't think you just do the regular stuff. You do the regular deal.
You know what I'm saying, though? Then our voices would be on even like 40 minutes of content a day.
You podcast the show, but you podcast it on their pages, on like John Kincaid's fans can
sure.
listen to that show.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying you can't be fans of multiple people.
Of course
on this
you
station,
can. But I guess my point would be the DA show listeners, I think, who digest this, if you will, in podcast form and aren't listening live, probably and are the ones asking for the podcast because they're not listening live. Probably are not realizing you're not getting the same kind of show.
Right.
It's just different.
It's a fascinating question. I think there's really no wrong answer. I think it's just depends upon how you play.
Right.
How people take it in and whatnot.
Now this is the PGP. We take you behind the scenes of the DA show. So I thought that was a good discussion to have.
Yeah, it's
because you guys listening right now on the PGP are the ones asking about that because you're taking in the show in podcast form. Now on that note. Trash Tuesday rolled around.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also had, obviously, the great comparison of stories between which lunch order was bolder, the guy with Primanti Brothers with the woman cheating on him with two security guards, or mine with this apparent supposed sales girl asking me if I like that big boy. Pete, you are, let's just put yourself in my shoes yesterday. Okay, two things. Number one, are you even looking at the girl as she's placing the order? Is your head down? Did I make too much eye contact to prompt her to address me?
To me, because there's so many people in this office,
right.
My head is down and I'm walking.
Okay, girl says that to you. Are you offended? Do you laugh? Are you stunned? What is your reaction?
I'm stunned more than anything.
You're like, okay, grilled chicken, pesto,
yeah.
Mozzarella. Pete, your head's kind of down, but you're kind of looking at her. She puts some, oh, you like that big boy. You're stunned.
I'm stunned.
I was stunned.
And especially if it's someone I don't know. I'm very stunned. Are you doing that in a workplace?
Well, that's what was so bizarre to me, Pete. We may not know a lot of the people by name who don't work directly with our department, and that might sound crazy to people in other offices, but there's a lot of people here. So there are a lot of people who work in sales and promotions, or even for some of these other radio stations that are around us, because we're in a cluster of stations. You know a lot of people, but you see a lot of faces that you don't know names to.
Right.
And it's people you say hello to every day. Oh, what's that guy's name? I don't even remember his name, but I see him every day. This was a girl I have literally never ever seen before in my life. So she could be, new placing an order. Like, maybe she's new.
Right. She probably is new. If she's in sales, that's a rotating panel of experts. So I would think that would be the last thing she would try to say, especially, you don't know what people will think of it. You know, you could say that to somebody that doesn't take it as a joke they're offended by it.
Now, you're going to be getting married soon.
Yes.
The lovely Bridget. We love Bridget. Is it okay to say Bridget's name on here? Okay. Would you have gone the route I did where I broached it with my wife and said what happened, and she basically told me, yeah, she could have you?
No, I would tell her what happened, but I wouldn't ask her to do that to me, say that back to me.
So
I would not do that at all.
As my wife's serving me the skirt steak and I asked her to say it, you're saying that was wrong.
That's a little much.
So I shouldn't have done that. Okay.
I would have told the story. It's part of the day.
It's a funny story.
Yeah, I mean,
There's no reason a wife or a girlfriend should be jealous of that story. It's a funny story.
I mean, especially if you have a very open relationship in terms of speaking about what's gone on.
In terms of speaking, yes.
In terms of speaking about your day and everything, and you're very honest with how you're saying stuff. And we have a very open relationship in terms of our... talking about, things that have happened in the workplace.
So you would have told her, but you wouldn't have presented like I had to have my wife, ask it kind of, trying to be hot.
No, that's...
I just had to know because, you never know. Maybe I'm secretly in love with this new sales girl.
It would have been a little weird.
Yeah, a little weird.
It would have been a little weird if I went home and I said, oh, hey, can you say this line to me? It's basically, I don't know. I think she would have taken it a very long way and I would have... probably slept on a couch, but I wouldn't do that.
No. Bless my wife's heart. She was an angel with the whole thing. I did not sleep on the couch. It's also, as I mentioned, my anniversary coming up this week, so
you
maybe...
step up. No pesto.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe not do the pesto sandwiches as I brought up. But now Bogish and DA appear to be wanting to go around, almost throughout the sales office asking if anybody's ever ordered that sandwich before to try to hunt this woman down. If they do, maybe we'll get her on the show or on the PGP. If we don't, maybe it'll be a mirage for Mirage, or as Hurricane Jen has always called me, a mirage.
Well, a mirage for Mirage. I'll say this: I'm not. I'm interested to see who said that and just the reasoning behind it.
Right, like, you want to go, and this is so typical of our show too. You just want to get more in depth. You need more.
Yeah, no, like
you need more.
Who cares
about Kyrie Irving? We need to know about this girl or the pesto.
I wouldn't walk up to somebody and just say that randomly. It's like you never know these.
I like
days.
That attitude. I bet you she's good at selling.
That's why she's probably here. But let's see how long she's here, because you could get
long. She could be gone today. I haven't seen her.
All right.
I went out the same spot around noon. Didn't see her.
She's probably gone. She probably wasn't even work here. She probably just was handling lunch order for the whole.
And you're gonna hate this. It's like the episode of Seinfeld where Kramer's doing all the work.
Go.
You don't even work here. That's what makes this so difficult.
Here we go. You had to get a Seinfeld reference in.
All right. You can follow Pete on Twitter
at CBS Pete the Body.
You can follow me on Twitter at MirazCBS. Have a great week, everyone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.